Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." And at that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today's gospel started with Jesus' frustration about the negative responses to his teaching. He mentioned, historically speaking, that people had problems with John the Baptist because he was a bit too demanding. And on the other hand, some people were frustrated that Jesus was too welcoming and engaging. You see, right here at the beginning, Jesus identified the human truth that sometimes nothing will make us happy. On a pretty simplistic level, we experience it on a hot summer day when we seem to long for the snow that would cool it off. But in the middle of February, we then wish for that hot summer sun. And this discontentment seems to permeate our lives. You see, during the pandemic, we were frustrated being in lockdown months ago, and now many of us are equally unhappy when we can now emerge, but now we need to wear a mask. And then, in responding to racial inequality, we saw that taking a knee was wrong. A peaceful protesting was wrong, and disruptive protesting was wrong too. You see, sometimes we as humans are never happy, no matter the situation. And frequently, what we find is that these disgruntled responses come from our discomfort. Our discomfort in wearing a mask, our awkwardness in responding to racism and oppression, and in today's reading, our unease with the true essence of our God. And this discomfort is difficult for those of us who think that we have God all figured out. It's especially true for us pastors and for vicars and for us well-read Christians and those who have been around the church for years and years and years, hearing the same stories and the prayers and going through the rituals, because frequently what has happened to those of us who have been around it for so long is that our preferred Jesus affirms or seems to affirm what we already think and feel and believe about our God. And this is the thing that Jesus is taking issue with in the second part of today's gospel reading. You see, in verse 25, when Jesus spoke about revealing God's essence to infants, what Jesus was reminding us of is that God is often hidden from those who have predetermined notions of God. And instead, those with the fewest illusions about their own power and their privilege and the preconceived notions that they come with are the ones who ironically often recognize God. It's those who, like infants, gaze and ponder and absorb the world around them. It's those infant-like individuals who will often realize the movement of the Spirit. And talking about the Spirit, in verse 28, Jesus was speaking in the manner of woman wisdom from the Hebrew Scriptures. And in Christianity, woman wisdom is regularly seen as Christ or maybe the Holy Spirit. And regardless of how we want to understand woman wisdom, what we know is that woman wisdom is a feminine way to understand God's presence. After all, we know that God is all gendered, is so much more than one gender. And so as we diversify pronouns for God, it's kind of like being an infant. It's an infant-like way to allow us to realize what might have been hidden if we had already predetermined that God is only male. Now, anyway, what Jesus is doing in verse 28 is really important because he's drawing a connection back to woman wisdom found in Jeremiah along with Sirach or Ecclesiasticus. And that's not Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiasticus. And there in Ecclesiasticus 24:19, woman wisdom invites the listener to her feast. It's a feast that we find revealed to us in the laws given to Moses. And remember, we're in Matthew's gospel right now, and we're making our way through studying that. And what we know about Matthew is that Matthew loves to make comparisons between Jesus and Moses. And I think that's probably part of the reason why we have a stained glass window here in the sanctuary of Moses receiving the law or the Ten Commandments. You see, because the parallels between Moses and Jesus in Matthew's gospel, well, they're endless. Okay, so why am I nerding out about all of this? We know that in Matthew, Jesus likes to mention the Hebrew Scriptures and Moses and the law. I said that already. And today, Jesus says to come to this same feast that woman wisdom lays out. Jesus says, come and partake of the wisdom. Come be one with me like a yoked animal. Come learn from me. Come grow with me. Come and receive eternal life. And you see, that's the beauty of today's gospel. For far too often, we, like those who reject, we are like those who do the rejection. We are like the ones who reject what God has already revealed to us and continues to reveal to us. We put on blinders. We are unhappy and frustrated by everything that's offered. We think that Jesus and the church and the pastor and the vicar are too liberal or too conservative. We think Jesus is completely unreasonable to us, that Jesus is too accepting or not welcoming enough. We spend too much time evaluating what Jesus said so that we can simply refute it or reject it, and so that we can simply reinforce what we already believe. But in that process, we reject what woman wisdom, what that feminine presence of God might be speaking to us today. You see, we often don't stop to listen and learn and grow. It is in our desire to quickly respond that we are blinded to God's work. And because of that, it sometimes feels hidden to us. We expect it to be something grand and grandiose. But you see, today Jesus, in our gospel reading, invites us to let go of the burdensome idea that we need to know it all. Today, we are called to partner with our God and open up our understanding to the embodiment of wisdom. That is Jesus. You see, then we are invited to find abundant life through God's grace. We are offered the opportunity to make love our primary currency. We are freed to respond to evil and oppression so that all might have life. And so I wonder, where this infant-like sense of openness might bring us in how we come to understand our God. That is, you know, if we are truly yoked to God's commandment to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves, as Jesus himself said in Matthew 22, if we are indeed yoked and walking with our God hand in hand, side by side, through it all, then how might our lives and the world change? I mean, what if we came to the scriptures not to proof text or to find proof for our pre-existing beliefs, but what if we came to scripture instead to look for faithful methodologies. Methodologies so that we can better come to absorb God's vision with an infant-like demeanor. You see, you know, if we did, I wonder if perhaps we would discover that Jesus' complexion was likely Middle Eastern. And so the countless representations of Jesus as a white man in the empire that is the United States of America, that has probably brought damage to those of us, those siblings of us in our pews, in our church, who are black and indigenous and people of color. Or maybe, with this infant-like demeanor, we might come to notice God's presence in every little nook and cranny and person. Perhaps we would recognize Jesus' non-violent resistance and feel empowered to understand and confront gun violence in our city that is running rampant. You see, when we begin to absorb God's presence in our environment with the likeness of an infant, then the possibilities among us are endless. And so I'm going to get us moving. Because there it is. Because the thing is, today's gospel is only the beginning. For in the weeks ahead, it's going to be real important for us to remember today's message as we continue to study Matthew's gospel. For Jesus, in the weeks ahead, will challenge us to reimagine our faith using parables. And Jesus will also make the impossible possible, using everyday things like bread and water, and even commonplace occurrences like death. In all of these places that we will see, we, you and I, the hearer, the reader, the follower, we will be asked to use an infant-like openness to woman wisdom, to listen without predecision, and to allow the beckoning of Christ to invite us to come and follow Christ's example, to come and be nourished at the waters of baptism, and to come to this holy table, to be strengthened and then sent, knowing that we are God's presence in this world, now and forevermore. Amen.